In this episode with Andrew Belter of Legal Aid Society of Milwaukee, he turns the tables and asks me some questions on running a low-income taxpayer clinic. And as we discuss goals for the year, I get into dealing with the State Department of Revenue. I hope you enjoy our discussion today.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Are there any other items that you wanted to bring up?
I guess, what would your advice be to a new tax director? I know I've asked you a lot of advice in the past year and 3 months.
I mean, I think what you're doing about trying to build contacts locally, I think that's a great idea. That, you know, I know the first year I was trying to build contacts with different organizations, like the, not just the taxpayer advocate, but the local senior stakeholder liaison. Yeah, getting to know her and the kind of their department, getting on her email list, and then like they've held practitioner liaison meetings, and so that enabled me to not only like meet people locally in Kansas, but then I was invited to tour the Kansas City, Missouri Processing Center for the IRS. So I got to tour their that site twice now, and you know, it was pretty fascinating to see kind of another part. Yeah, and I would say as a legal aide, kind of trying to educate some of the other attorneys on just what kind of cases I do, like letting them know if for the domestic violence attorneys that they could bring those innocent spouse cases to me. But yeah, I mean, part of it too, I was trying to figure out what direction to go in for the clinic. And kind of this year, I'm seeing if I can build better relations with the Kansas Department of Revenue, you know, and see if I can get any reform to occur.
In regards to what, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I feel like there's barely any recognition of low-income taxpayers at the state level that either a person owes or they don't, and they're turned over to collection agencies. So I'd like to, you know, like there's been a little talk like they would waive filing fees for their settlement offers, but it doesn't quite seem that way in practice. You know, different things like that I've dealt a little with Missouri, and dealing with the IRS, I feel like they're more taxpayer friendly.
Yeah, that is what I try and tell everyone, that the IRS are the nice ones.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is always so scared of the IRS. No, they're the nice ones. You reach out and you talk to them immediately.
Yeah.
And then the face are the ones that I find terrifying, at least in Wisconsin. Because Wisconsin, they charge 18% annual interest. I think that's what it is last time I checked.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, so there was a panel at the last LITC conference that I sat in on, that the Indiana LITCs, they were in charge of that. So they, and I thought it was interesting, like they've reached out to the Indiana Department of Revenue, and they've made some headway. But one of the things they were warning us about is that there are restrictions against lobbying within both the LSC and the LITC programs. So we have to be careful that, you know, whatever we're doing doesn't fall into lobbying. So one thing I've done is I sent, like, we have a new governor in Kansas, and I've sent letters to, or a letter to her and to the various state representatives just introducing myself and saying, hey, if you want to know more about the LITC program and some ways to help taxpayers within the state, then contact me. And there hasn't been any contact. So I'm kind of thinking through how much more I can do, you know, that'll fall short of lobbying at this point. Yeah, and like I have a little bit of contacts within the Department of Revenue now, and so my last main email I sent, I had some basic client stories and was saying, trying to phrase it in a sympathetic way, I sent those off and basically was told, well, just call in each of those and talk to the person on the phone. And, you know, I tried that and I didn't get any sympathy, really. So, and I feel like I'm a little bit back to square one, but I'm gonna keep trying.
I have a little bit of a funny plan in place for the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, and it's funny because it goes along with my personality, where after every time you call the Department of Revenue, you can leave a message.
Okay.
Leave a message about your service today. So, like, when someone really helps, I'll leave the message like, Connie was great. I really enjoyed working with her. That woman deserves a raise. So I probably have, like, 20 messages like that with the Department of Revenue. So hopefully they'll be like, who is this guy who keeps leaving messages? And they'll all be like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
And I'll have my end. But I do appreciate when they take the time to talk to me and explain things and help me out, because a lot of them actually do a really great job and they don't make the laws, they're just trying to do their job. So I'll leave the message because they should know that they're doing a good job.
Yeah, that's nice. I don't have that similar function, but I mean, I just think it's kind of bizarre that we will have positions like this and yet there isn't really like good communication between the Department of Revenue and tax clinics like ours. But I was surprised in Missouri that they were actually reaching out to the various tax clinics, and I got on a conference call like that. So they've set up an email that we can discuss cases with them that way and you know, let them know that an LITC client is trying to seek help. So I don't know, it's kind of funny how two different states can be, you know, have such different philosophies.
But I can imagine. That's cool that they are trying to connect low-income taxpayers with you.
Well, it's more been me reaching out to them that it's like saying, oh, I have this client who has an issue within the Missouri Department of Revenue. And I mean, you know, frankly, I don't have to deal too much with Missouri, and so my dealings with them have been great so far. But I feel like with Kansas, you know, I tell my clients, hey, you have to pay one way or another, whether it's a payment plan or doing a settlement. You know, they're looking for money. There's nothing, you know, not really much relief for being low income or nothing comparable to currently not collectible or anything like that.
Yeah, that is, there's nothing like currently not collectible. Yeah, no official labeling or characterization like that, which I find interesting and a little disheartening. It sounds like other states are like that too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't understand, you know, if a person's unemployed or on a fixed income, you know, or just can't pay their bills, why? I mean, like, I don't know, different creditors will get a judgment against them and, you know, just kind of turn the screws. And so I mean, if a person can't pay, they can't pay. I don't.
Yes, yeah, I'm with you. I've had many conversations where someone will say, look at, you know, income and expense kind of chart that I drew up, and they'll say that's impossible. No, it's impossible for someone to live
month after month with their expenses greater than their income. And I think, and they say this, and I think they truly believe it, and I think I know this is how people get in debt. This is a real thing that needs to be addressed. It's not making up numbers for sympathy. People really can't pay.
Yeah. And if people can, people skip meals or they just build up their credit card debt, or if they're able to take out loans, but they just build up debt. In the meantime, they can't make ends meet, and so they get creative.
Yes, I think a lot. I don't know for sure, but I've thought about this. Some people try and play the game of paying off different debts each month, so to make everyone satisfied a little bit enough to not actually come after them. So they try and keep rearranging their debt month after month after month. And I don't know if that's what some of these people do, but that's the only thing I can think of that makes sense about how some of these debts get so large.
Yeah, I think they just find creative ways to survive, and I don't really know quite how they do it, but yeah, I mean, that...
This has got real sad.
Well, but that's the reality of why we're trying to help these people, that, some of them don't have any hope, and we're just trying to get them out of that situation as best we can, or at least get them a leg up and point them in the right direction.
Yeah, right direction. And just get a leg up, get their feet under them, just give them some time. Yeah, I agree. Do you have any fundraising events or anything coming up?
No, nothing too much. I mean, we're in the middle of tax court with Kansas City, so next week it's S cases next week, and then 2 weeks after that, it's regular cases. So I've been kind of going through that whole situation.
Do other LAPCs do a lot of fundraising events?
I don't know how much fundraising. I tried to do a planned a fundraiser for Kansas Legal Services, and we didn't lose money, but we didn't make a lot of money either. And it was kind of a lot of work, so haven't planned another. So
they're hard.
Yeah, and I didn't really target the LITC specifically for building funds. I just kind of wanted to raise some funds for my office. So.
If you don't mind me asking, what kind of event was it?
We did a Friday night at a coffee shop, and we sent out a lot of invitations, and only a handful of people showed up. So we got different door prizes, and it wasn't quite a raffle, but that type of thing where you buy tickets and put them in a cup or whatever and do a drawing. Yeah, we did a lot of work and not a lot of turnout. So, I didn't know if I wanted to keep doing it.
Seems like it would have been fun, at least, at the event.
Yeah, yeah, I thought so, that we had a good time, had some music playing and food and drinks, but, yeah, when people don't show up, then it's, kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, because it'd be fun to, try and partner with other LAPC to do events. I know we do Netflix calls, but some sort of... I don't know. My brain is spinning now.
Yeah, one nice thing that came out of the pro bono day was that it was the three local LITCs and the IRS council. We all just kind of hung out on Saturday morning. So to some degree, it was like the veterans trading war stories, things like that. But it was a good community thing for us, and I'm coming on 3 years within being at my clinic, and this is just the second time the three local clinics we've gotten together, outside of the LITC conference. So I tried to get a lunch going between the clinics and the IRS council, and that that kind of fizzled out. But you know, but it was nice to that we got to get together and socialize, and you know, we didn't have to talk about cases or anything like that.
I can talk about, yeah, that would be beneficial and enjoyable. I love picking the brains of only more experienced attorneys, especially case attorneys, hearing their thoughts on things or their life experiences, because we're all people too, and I think they have a lot of wisdom in them about how to both balance being an attorney and real life.
Yeah, and it was good for the people who'd been within the IRS to just kind of give a little perspective on, you know, where things are at now versus before. So, you know, it's good to get that input.
I don't think I have any more questions.
Okay.
I'm questioned out.
Yeah, that's kind of me too. So,
thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.